you got your family here, and you got your church family here, and of course, God is always going to help you. Can we get an amen from Matt Allen?
Amen.
Here's my script. I don't know if I'm going to stick to that too much. I would like us to open to our Bibles to 8th chapter of John, verses 12 through 21. Getting familiar with zipping through this Bible, so stay with me. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows in me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even I testify on my own behalf. My testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies for myself. My witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your father?" "You do not know me or my father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the palace where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. So, one of the most amazing things I thought about this was that I notice reoccurring in chapter 8 of John that Jesus just has an understanding on every situation. I've noticed that this chapter has a reoccurring theme that Jesus is telling people that he is God in the flesh and that people are constantly questioning his authenticity. Jesus proclaims many times that he is the Son of God, and people try to question him about how real his testimony is, and he just says it as clear as day that "I am the light of the world." Now, ever since Pastor has asked me to speak today, I have been going through my Bible, and this was months ago he asked me to speak, so I've been going through my Bible like a kid who just never studied for a test. And I got this learning Bible from the church when I graduated high school in 2005, and it's took me almost 10 years to open it up to start accepting the word of Jesus Christ. I walked a very dark path for a long time, for about 10 years, 10, 15 years. When I was in 8th grade, I graduated from CCD, and I was made an adult of the church, and I, by no standards, was an adult at all. I was ignorant, and I tried to follow my own path. I tried to fulfill a void that I had for a very long time. One of my voids was that I was in constant, I just wanted, women, and, I just wanted them to like me for whatever reason. I don't care if it was because I had a cool shirt or because I had cool sneakers. I just really liked girls. And, when I was a kid in Sunday school, maybe 10, 11 years old, all I would do was look at the girls in church with their dresses on. I was my mouth was dropped. So I got into high school, through my whole middle school years, I was just constantly trying to seek a friend, trying to seek something, but I should have been seeking the word a lot then, because I was looking to fill that void. I'd say when I got into about the 10th grade, when I met Virginia, I met her and I knew, I didn't know she was the one then, but I knew she was the one that meant something to me, something special. When we first started dating, I was a dog. I tried to talk to every girl possible while dating, and my tail would always wag. Virginia, she always forgave me for no matter what I put her through. I put her through like the worst things, and we've also experienced some very good things. But one thing that reached out to me was how much she forgave me, and I wanted to know what gave her that strength to forgive. That was the power of Jesus Christ. She'd been a believer since I don't know what age, and it poured on her actions, because that's where it's supposed to come from, how you act. So the second I tried to start figuring that out, I would begin to come to church. I would sit here like an empty vessel. I would sit here and listen. I would hear it, but I wouldn't listen to the word. And it would go right through me for years. It would just go right through me. I felt like, all right, I'm cleansed this week. I went to church. I'm good. Good to go for the week. But I wasn't. I still had that void because my doors were still shut. Jesus didn't kick the doors in yet. I wasn't ready. He wanted me to live that life of trying to live for myself. So, I mean, I remember I've been in some dark places due to alcohol, due to drugs, and like, I used to drink a lot. I mean, I worked at a liquor store for 5-6 years, and it was getting to a point where I was walking into the liquor store and I'd just get thirsty. And that's not how I wanted to be known as. I don't want to be known as the guy who was always drunk, always high. I wanted to be known as, I mean, now I want to be known as a man of God, and I want His Spirit to just shine right through it, through everything I do. But it's like I said, it's in actions how that happens. So, sorry, I flew way off the script. But when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have eternal light." For a while, I mean, I thought light, the sun, the lights in this room. But like I'm telling you, that darkness that you walk in when you're not with Jesus, it reminds me of if you ever went to the Liberty Science Center and they have a tunnel there that is pure darkness. You have to use your touch to get through it. It is darker than that because you're just trying to fill your cup, and your cup is like an empty spaghetti strainer, and you're just pouring the water in, and the water's coming right out. And like I've done some really mean things to people. I used to take pleasures in watching people get hurt, and deep down inside, it was me who was hurting, because at a young age, I was told that I had a very lack of deficiency in testosterone, and that really hindered me growing up, because I kind of watched other boys grow up before me, like, they got taller than me first, they got hairier than me first, so I was like, all right, well, I can always lay back and watch it happen. After a while, that doesn't work. So that light that was shining through my now wife's eyes then was the light that was guiding me. And I should have looked at it a long time ago, and I'm very glad that I reached out and grabbed it, because I wouldn't have met such nice people. And I remember when I was coming up with the ideas, for a while I would come to church and I would say I'm here, and then like I remember Rob one time was like he pulled me to the side and he was like, you know, Jesus is waiting for you, just reach out. And it took me a while. And you know, I'm telling you, the elders in this church, they are far experienced in reading this Bible, and they are far experienced in the words of God. And through their actions, I am able to like just put myself on a path where I want to just follow their lead and just get to where I need to be for Christ.
give me a second. I skipped like 3 pages.
So one of the things that led me into the darkness was music. I used to love rap music, hip hop. I love it. I love the beats. I used to love the lyrics so much. Now I can hardly stand it. It's like I would listen to a song and it would talk about making love to a person, and 5 minutes later the same radio station would have on a commercial about HIV and AIDS awareness. And it's like, I wonder why this thought was imprinted into my head, is because I was beating my ears with this music and with just such sinful nature. And it didn't really work for me all that well. So one thing I like was told by my doctors when I was a kid was like, you'll never have kids. You're gonna be, you know, you can always like be a mentor to a kid, but you'll never be a father to a kid. And that kind of like burned me inside for a long time. So I put that in the back, and I've shared that with a handful of people in this room. And then, So when I was younger, I used to get my shot. I get a shot of testosterone once a month, and I would get it from my good old nurse Barbara Leonti here, and she for years would give me my shot, and I would go about my day like it wouldn't matter because now I have my fulfillment of what I need and I'm good to go. You know, I've had so many young men in my life like that have meant so much like a son to me. It's crazy because those were God's blessings to me ever from the beginning. I think it started like with Nicholas and Justin. These were two young boys on my street who I was always older than them, so like we kind of just always hung out, and I showed them the ropes of how I learned things and just how to grow, like how to hang out. And like later on, it grew up. I started hanging out with Matt when he was younger, and I was always a little bit older than him, but he's very wise beyond his years. You'd be surprised. But now it happens all over again with EJ, Caitlin, and Jade. It's like God is showing me like this world cannot tell you that you cannot be a father. I'm showing you that you have father qualities inside, and you can do it. You know, I've been raised in a great household. I didn't grow up in a broken home. I didn't grow up, you know, without. I was always given. I was always spoiled, as a matter of fact. And I think that was one of like my downfall and also a positive, because if it wasn't for knowing how to spoil, I wouldn't know how to spoil kids myself. And I think it's good to do that. So, you know, God sent me Virginia, and doctors and everybody told me we would be without children our whole life. And you know, it's not true, because like I've seen the blessings, and I've also seen the darkness. So it's now it was at a point where I was like weighing my options, like insurance, or you know, should I do it or should I not? And just coming to church every Sunday and trying, I need to involve myself more in church activities. I need to, because that's the only way, like reaching out with your local church and trying to live the Word of God with other people who live the Word of God. That is the strength. It's like strength in numbers, and you need it. You need it. It's so many people in this world reject it. It's so easy to walk that path. I've walked that path with people who have like just never, don't even want to hear the Word. I remember sitting at a barbecue with a bunch of people, and they were just like, one kid was just saying, you know, the Bible is the greatest novel ever written. Just like, just heckling it. And after a while, I just started telling him some of my truths, just what have I been through. And I think conversations like that with people like that pushed me closer to God, pushed me closer to wanting to know Christ. And I tell you, when you see that little bit of light, it'll grab you. It's the only thing you would want. To me, it's like being a drug addict, and your first hit is seeing the light. Next, it's like, oh, I need to do whatever I can to get that next light. Come on, light. So I mean, now I'm gonna burst the bubble on this one. But now my wife, she sits here, 7 weeks pregnant, and we're excited. We're praying for a healthy baby. We're praying for a healthy one. And, you know, God has answered prayers for mine and beyond. And now coming to Bible school, I'm learning how to pray the right way. That is something I need to gravitate to. Because I know in prayer, I've sat down and prayed so many times and just so selfishly just asked for my own will instead of His will. And I think when I start asking for His will and my will and they match up, I think something's going on in the right direction there. So, let's get back to the verse. Sorry. So the Pharisees, here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. I felt like that was me for so long, just telling myself inside, like, Jesus, I know you're there, but you know, I'll grab you when I need you. When things start getting bad, that's when I'll reach out. And for a while, my life was like that. I remember when I was graduating, when I almost didn't graduate high school, I was a really, you know, on the borderline student. I was really upset one day, and I went to my grandmother's grave in Nyack Cemetery, and I prayed. And that was probably been the first time I prayed since I was a kid. And I sat there and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I needed a 70 on my math final to graduate. and I got a 73 on it, and I was like, I should have noticed then, like, that was him, come on, man. And I didn't notice then. It took me a while, it took me to really see. I mean, even my marriage, like, even after the marriage, it took me, like, more than that. I still needed more proof. I didn't believe him. So I was going through the whole chapter of John 8, and in the beginning part, he's talking about the adulterous woman, and he says, if any one of you are without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone at her. And I myself for so long was walking around like, I'm good, but no, like even now, after 15 minutes I've walked out of here, I guarantee you, something will slip out of my mouth, I will slip up somehow, I will sin. I mean, the Redskins play the Eagles today, and if we don't win. So, no, I will. And, like, seriously, I will sin today. I will sin this week. I will sin every, like, all have fallen short and sin. So, I mean, I will. But I know that, like, he's my guideline. And having a church family and a family that's so strong, I will be able to pull through. And I will be able to show people outside of here that the light of Christ is real. And I hope through how I've shared today that you will be able to reach out and grab that light. I'm looking before here, all I see is this communion table, and I can't help but think, like, the one of the first times I took communion, I was in second grade, I was so excited, you know, I got my tie and everything like how I do now, and I don't dress up, I wear t-shirts and jeans. So, I'm looking at this communion table, and just to have a little bit that will help us feel closer to God, the body and the blood. I think that's more powerful than almost anything I've been through. Now, when I first started getting the ideas of wanting to speak, before Pastor asked me to speak, when I had the ideas of wanting to speak, Robert told me you're going to need some good teachers. So, you know, I've been looking up pastors and speakers, just like how I used to look up like new hip hop artists coming out with a hot new mixtape. I've started to learn about a gentleman named Leonard Ravenhill, and one of the sermons that he had said or had had was that no man is greater than his own prayer, and I have taken that very deeply, and I have started to pray more now than I think I've ever prayed in my life. And I think now that I'm in Sunday school, they're talking about prayer and the right way to pray. I think it's fitting hand in hand in my life, and I think it's just another way of God showing me, just listen, Matt, just listen, I'm here. Excuse me. So, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You have no idea where I'm going, and you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me, and your law is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is my Father who sent me. Now, I'm not trying to take this to, like, I'm not trying to make it into my own definition of what I think it is. But, I mean, when I told my father that I was preaching today, I know he is a man of the town and can talk to everybody. And he told everybody and their mother that I was talking today. I wanted a little bit more people here today so they can hear what I had to say, but you know what? I feel like the right people came, and I feel like the right people from the church family are here. Besides my father up there, he sent me down here to help deliver this word through me, and hopefully through my life experiences you could see the light of Christ. And that's the only way you can see, like, through other people, other Christians' actions. That's the only way you can see it. I mean, there's other ways, miracles and other things, but I think other Christians' actions really do make a good imprint on how you assess yourself when you speak and talk and act. I'm just completely off track. Now I wanted to talk about something. Like, people, when you tell them about a law or something, like when Jesus told them about their own law, people are quick to, if they don't know it specifically, they're quick to defend themselves and get very angry if you tell them that they are wrong. And I know this from personal experiences working with parking meters. You tell somebody that they're wrong about a parking meter, be prepared, because there will be some backlash. Now, I was just telling them about parking meters. Jesus was telling them that he is the light, the only way of connection between him and God. And people are so quick, especially people who pride themselves on knowing the word. People were so quick to say, you're absolutely nuts. And, you know, he just went with it. He was like, well, I understand, and I'm going to just keep saying what I'm saying. I think all the way up until this generation from back then, having such great Christians and great speakers and great people who live their lives as Christians, like his light is shining bright. And I know people say we live in a dark world. If you think about what just happened in Oregon, and you think about the shooting in South Carolina, and you think about all the people that are getting killed overseas and stuff, there is a lot of darkness in this world. But I think in America, we have a great Christian like thing building. And I don't know, I feel like darn, I'm a little bit late to the party, but I'm here. And I feel like if he gives me the years, I will be talking for a long time. I did a little bit of this study Bible was great for getting prepared for this. So in this verse he says, in your law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am the one who testifies for myself, and my witness is the Father who sent me. In Deuteronomy 19, it says, one witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he has committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Jesus right there is telling these people that I am the one. My Father, God, he sent me. And they don't want anything. If you tell them they're wrong, it's like telling people they don't want to pay the parking meter, they shut the door on you. And they just come up with their own things. I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Now I've been struggling with this theme for a long time. Am I saved? Am I saved? Has Jesus called me yet? And you know what? He's kicked down that door a long time ago, and it was just my own selfishness to why I didn't see it. And I believe to this day that I am saved, and I will continue to be saved, because it's not just, you know, I'm saved, hey, we're good. No, it's a continuous work in your life that has to change. Your whole lifestyle, I think I've said this once before, when you get your black belt in martial arts, that's when you now can start training martial arts. You've done white to black for years. Now at your black belt, you can start training martial arts. I feel like once you've made the proclamation that Jesus Christ is your King and Savior, then you can start your life of Christianity. And then you can start seeing the changes in your life. And I've noticed those changes, and those changes are blessings. And they definitely outweigh the non-blessings. And I believe I'm living proof of that. Like, I think that I've lived both sides. I've lived the darkness. Before the darkness, I was in light, because when I was a kid, I wanted to go to church. I remember I was an altar boy for a couple of months, and that I enjoyed it. I mean, my brothers would heckle me all the time, like, "All right, go to church, go." But you know, I'm here to tell you that one day I'm gonna get them into here, and I'm gonna have them sitting down and saying a prayer, and I guarantee you that. Because right now they fight like cats and dogs, my brothers. But you know, at times they look to me as the mediator, the one to help diminish it, and I think that through my faith, it will help them see that there's no reason for the nonsense, and they can get through it. Now, I think I've shared a lot about myself, and I think I've shared a lot about my wife, and a little bit of Matt. I didn't know you were going to do that, but I wanted to close with this, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. And it's 100% true. From being broken, I remember I've been like drunk beyond belief, where I couldn't even stand up or drool. I remember I've even urinated on myself. I mean, from there to now, it's changed. My life has changed a great deal, and it's all because of seeing the light of life of Jesus Christ through my wife and through my actions in my daily life. And, you know, I got to give credit to all her siblings, because they all helped me out in every which way. it took up for when my siblings went away. And if you didn't know, my brothers, one of them lives all the way on the West Coast. The other one lives in Florida. So it's like when you grow up with two people your whole life and they just, you're like left on your own. You're like, oh, I guess it's time to fend for myself around here in New York. You know, I mean, they picked up a good slack of deal and they helped me out tremendously. So, I mean, I'll definitely close now in prayer if that's all right. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to go over your scripture today. We thank you that you sent Jesus in your own flesh and blood to use us as the light in this world and darkness. We pray that he may become more real and more precious to us each moment. We pray that your light of God will touch our hearts and shine on us. Aside from Christ, we may not have a connection to you, Lord. And please allow that light to shine on us to follow that path. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's all I got today.